Well, good morning again. Here we are. We're doing something that is a little different, and that is having a service and just putting it online due to the virus and churches not able to meet as a group. But I know that we are the church from our last message last week, where we're at, and God is working in us and through us. And God is continuing to be your strength. Amen. So I hope to bring today just a little bit more in a direction to help us during this time. But really, it's to help us at any time, you know. God's word is to be shared, and the message needs to go forth, not just during crisis. And it seems like everything is turned upside down, which it is turned upside down right now. But we need to share his word. And that's what we want to do this morning for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather together, Lord, even though we're separate from a body within the church, Lord, I know that we are gathered together there in our homes. And that, Lord, we are listening and that we are wanting to hear from you this day. And Father, nothing that I have is worthy of value. But everything that has value of that comes from you, Father. And I truly pray that today, that you will bring yourself through this message. Speak it through me, I pray. I pray, Lord, that those listening will receive it by that of the Spirit to prepare our hearts and our minds for this very time. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. You agree with that? Hallelujah. So the title of the message for today would be that of the best shelter to have. Hallelujah. So here we are having our second online service due to the stay in shelter. Limited exposure. We are all trying to be safe and to do the right thing. And with that said, we need to for sure keep our health care people in our prayers continually. The doctors, the nurses, anyone out there basically on the front line to help get us through this. Many resources in some hospitals are being stretched. And so please keep these individuals in our prayers. Keep those of our first responders in our prayers as well. And hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So we're doing our bit by staying in place. You know, we can do that part by listening and heeding the advice of those of our leaders in the state and the federal, and we may not always agree with them, but there are things that we need to do, and there's pieces to this puzzle that we need to play. And I think one of them is being sheltered in, being limited exposure, gathering together for a time being. But I've had a chance to visit with most of you by phone call throughout the week, or now I could say by weeks, okay? And I hope to continue to do that each week as we're separate, that I can try to make a touch base with each and every one by a phone call to see how you're doing, if there's any prayer requests that we could pray then on the phone. But if nothing else, I just want to leave you with encouragement. I hope to leave you with maybe laughter, you know, the joy of the Lord. But we'll be in touch. I encourage you to be in touch with one another. If you've not heard from someone, please call them, text them. Let them know you're thinking of them, praying for them. And that continues to be a very important and vital part of the family of God. And speaking of that, the one thing for sure that we need is for each other, the family of God. And of course, it goes without saying, we need God. We need the family of God, our church family. We need for sure God. But you know what? We've always needed God, haven't we? True. We've always needed God. Not just during a calamity or a very serious situation that we're into right now. The world needs a true personal relationship with one true God of creation, and that's for sure God, the God that we serve. And so here we are. The world needs to understand this. The world needs a personal relationship with our God. My prayers are that through this event, one of several good things to come out of this time is that those that are outside his kingdom will see a need to be counted in his kingdom. And that'll be by that of coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But also on top of those that are outside the realm of the kingdom, for us in the church, for us in his kingdom, this is a time for us. This is a time for the church to see, to examine the church, ourselves individually, as to how is this situation affecting me? How has it caused me to be concerned? How has it caused me to have anxiety, depression? Just a lot of things that could be going on in each and every one of us. But for the church as well, we need to learn from this. And hopefully we have got the tools already to help us handle this, don't you? Amen? Do you have the tools to help you through these things that we're going through today? If you do, say amen. All righty. Hallelujah. It's going to work out. But it is a time for us as the church to reflect on these things that we have heard, we've read, we've ministered about, we raised our hands, we've said amen when the pastor has said things about what we are to be for God and how God will be for us. Well, now it comes to that point, ladies and gentlemen. Do you truly believe what you amened 5 years ago, 2 months ago, a few weeks ago? And I believe for our church body here, I believe you do. Thank you, Father. The focus of us, his church, right where we are sheltered in, yes, even those that are sheltered in, because I believe we're talking to friends, we're texting family members, we're calling them, we're texting them. And for those that are still able to go into the workplace is to show the calm, the peace, the rest. Hey, how about showing some tranquility? And as I began to run through things that were coming out of my thoughts of this, it went back to that of what I spoke of last week, of that word shalom. And so I greet you again with shalom. And I trust these things are working in your life this very hour. So as the days continue to roll on, as I'm sure you as well keep hearing these words or phrases that not until this virus hit that we really had a lot of contact with the words and the verbiage that we're continually hearing now every day. You listen to news conferences and things taking place and all of these things are generally going to be spoken about. What are those things? How about social distancing? To be self-quarantined. To be watchful of community spread and the shelter in place. And that's where I want to go to today. But shelter in place. Now, we may have heard that, but we didn't really pay a lot of attention to it because it was used primarily along the coastline when a hurricane was coming. And if the people didn't get out in time, when the warning went forth by those of the officials to say, it's time to leave your home and leave this area and get to safe ground. If people didn't go, if people said, oh, I'm going to ride it out, well, guess what? You're going to ride it out. And then all of a sudden, the storm gets so big that your emergency officials will say, no more are we coming in to help or save you. You're on your own. You better shelter in place. Shelter in place. So when I keep hearing the term, that phrase, to shelter in place, it would always bring back to my thoughts of what God's word speaks of regarding that of shelter. Now I'm wanting to possibly give you a two for one. Hallelujah. The Major League Baseball has been postponed. Opening day we didn't have for the baseball season. And in baseball, when you'd have two games, one after the other, it was what? A doubleheader! Well, I don't know if this morning it'll be like that of a doubleheader, but I want to focus first on shelter, okay? The best shelter that we have. And when I thought of that just even yesterday, it hit my mind and my memory or whatever, that I remember something out there in the commercial side of the world, okay? And it was shelter insurance. You know, there's an insurance company that goes by the name of Shelter Insurance. And so I just went to their website just to kind of find out a little bit about them. And their little saying that goes along with their shield and shelter insurance, it says this: stand behind the strength of our shield. Woo! Hallelujah! Stand behind the strength of our... When I read that, our shield, it immediately brought me again back a few weeks back when Wayne and Julie and Terry, they shared that Sunday. Wayne's message and what he began to share started in 91 of Psalms. Terry shared in that of Ephesians, of the armor, and that hit me when I read that shield. I remembered what Terry spoke of, and I just wished we had audio, or we got audio, video, because I would just love to see Wayne being dressed for the battle. Oh, I wish we had a picture of that. But anyway, we don't. But my mind went back to that. See, that's why it's important, folks. I mean, if you don't make it to a service, would you please listen to the message that goes online, and hopefully you will gain something from it. It will give you encouragement. It will help you through the next week or two or three down the road. I don't know, but they're out there. And it's not to make a big name for the church. It's just to get the message of God out there. And if somebody in the world, you know, comes across it, praise God. But it's for the church here, to where when you can't make it to a service, you're sick, you're unable to come, you had to work, that you can pick up the message the next day or so, that next week, to hear what was being brought forth, but I trust by that of the Holy Spirit. Again, messages, Lord, speak to this body. I don't want just stories, Lord. I don't want just little things here and little things there, and just pick out a verse here and there and read it and say, now that's good, go out and have a good day. No. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to hear the heart of God every time we get together. And as we bring messages, we've got to be sensitive to the Spirit and trust that the Spirit is putting these together. And as He puts them together, we put them online. And hopefully it's going to touch the heart as you listen to them online. But anyway, here we are with this shelter insurance, stand behind the strength of our shield. And I immediately hit when Terry was speaking of putting on the full armor of God. So in the end of the message here of talking about the sheltering aspect, I believe I will end with that of the shield of faith. Amen? The shield of faith. Well, let's continue on in regards to the shelter. So we get into this shelter, we think of, what is shelter? Now we pretty well know that, but it's something that covers or affords protection. Thinking like that of a bomb shelter, you know, tornado shelter. It's a place that you run to when danger is coming your way. Shelter, it's a position or the state of being covered and protected. You took shelter, you know? That is shelter. That's what it's all about for us to shelter within, or shelter within your home, is to be protected, to protect yourself, protect those around you. It's not a fear, it's to use wisdom and to be protected, amen? That's out of the Webster's dictionary. Now, King James Dictionary speaks of shelter this way, and it says that which covers or defends from injury or annoyance. That which covers or defends from injury or annoyance. I'm going to tell you, folks, that as we go through life, any time in our life, whether it's the COVID-19 or some other virus out there or some other economic downfall or whatever the case might be, okay, that we have this understanding that the shelter that God gives us is going to protect us, and He's going to defend us from injury or annoyances. Continues on with, it's a house is a shelter from rain and other bad weather. Foliage of a tree, shelter from the rays of the sun. In the verb form, it talks about to cover from violence, injury, annoyance or attack, to defend, to protect from danger, to secure or render safe, to harbor. You know, you speak of harbor when they talk about putting the ships in harbor when a typhoon or something is coming, and the waves are going to be very, very high. They want to get the ships to harbor to be protected, or if not, you get out into the sea away from the storm. But that's part of that shelter in place. So as we think of God in that thought process of the world is saying shelter in place so you protect yourself, we as a Christian for all the times already understand that as we have gone about our life, even before COVID-19, we want to be in that shelter with God. Amen? Amen. So let's take a look a little bit at this in God's Word. In Psalm 61:3, we will take a look at it there. If you want to get your Bible, hopefully you're there at the house, you're at the table or something. I know you're probably not driving, okay, but you're sitting there. Take your Bible. Follow along. All we got is time, okay? My goodness, we're not going anywhere. Remember, you're sheltered in place. So in Psalm 61, we get into verse 3, and it says this, "For you have been a shelter." Now, this is a psalm of David, and before we get to that, prior to that, in verse 1, Psalm 61:1, it says, "Hear my cry, O God." Anybody out there cry to God? I bet so. Hallelujah. "Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Oh, hallelujah. How does this not speak to us today where our heart has been overwhelmed? We have been overwhelmed by this current situation. Oh, but it's okay. We're going to see it through. And then it gets into verse 3, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." Now, when we look at this part here, in the Good News, it would say this, Good News Bible, it says where New King James says, "For you have been a shelter for me." Good News, you have been my protector. Has God been your protector? Yes, he has. It goes on to say in the New King James, talks about a strong tower. Good News Bible says it this way, "My strong defense from the enemy." You name the enemy that's out there, okay? I believe we deal with things in the spiritual, okay? We don't battle against flesh and blood. It's the spiritual realms. But I also believe that there's things in the natural that will come our way that will try to harm us and will or could harm us. And it's those times that why we pray for protection from God. I mean, you know, if it was just, we just pray, "Oh, Heavenly Father, protect me in the spiritual realm from spiritual battles." Amen. What about my daily battles here on this earth? What about the battles that I have day in and day out or every few times a week? Whatever the case might be, the things that we go through, things of health, finances, relationships, you name it. We do have a battle taking place here, okay? And that's the time that we also pray for God's help and blessings in those areas to keep us strong, to give us wisdom, to give us guidance. In the natural, speak into our minds so that we know what to say, what not to say, what to choose, what not to choose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This gets exciting just thinking about all of the times that God is there with us and His care for us. So let's take a look really quick at Psalm 61:3. Now, when we look at this, we're looking at a little aspect here of the picture of this psalm uses four metaphors to represent God as a shelter. One of them is that of a high rock, a fortified tower in verse 3. Verse 4, a pitched tent, okay? "I will abide in your tabernacle." The tabernacle is that of a tent. And then it goes on to say what? "And I will trust in the shelter of your wings." That wings is like that of a mother hen with outstretched wings to protect her chicklets or her little babies. Now, I find that very interesting, and we're not going to get into it, but I've talked with a brother, and we've talked about the under the shadow of his wings. Wayne read Psalms 91. It talks about the wings. But in the aspect of the mother hen protecting her little brood, it does protect from the aggressors and some animals that might want to come, that she'll put them under her wings and kind of hide them. But a lot of that is to protect them from the rain. The main point of that is that, of course, is if they get wet, because they don't have the feathers, that if they catch a cold, if they get too low on a body temperature, they'll die. So they may be wet, but as a mother hen brews them under the feathers, or her wings, I should say, and kind of puts them all around there, she is shielding them from the rain, but a lot of it is she's just wanting to create body temperature to keep them warm so that they don't die. So as we look at this, for you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Now, we can jump from there, okay, in Psalm 61:3, and let's just turn over just quickly over to Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 18:10. A lot of wisdom out of Proverbs. And I tell you what, we need some wisdom nowadays, huh? For sure, for sure. So as we get into, if you're there, Proverbs 18:10, I believe you're there by now. Let's just begin to read here. And it talks here, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong, what? Tower. Say a strong tower. Mm-hmm, you got it. The righteous run to it and are safe. Now this word safe could also be looked at as the righteous run to it and are secure, or they are set high. So when we look at this, the name of the Lord protects not only by strength, but what? By height. Safe here is implying being lifted out of reach. Hallelujah. During bad times, we need to pray, Lord, lift us out of those times and raise us up, elevate us. Hallelujah. Keep us safe. To elevate us. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, when you think of that, a strong tower being set up on high, in the natural, you can think of things like it gives you advantage over the enemy. In the natural, you know, in battles, in military times, in wars, the most advantageous to be stronger than your enemy would be at the higher place, to be looking down upon them, to where you would have visibility for great distances to see them coming, that you would be looking down and firing or shooting or whatever the case might be, but you have the advantage when you've got the high ground. Amen? That's why we talk about take the high ground for God. Hallelujah. Let God put you in that strong tower, that high tower, that secure place. And I believe in, you know, just thinking about these things with God, that it's a good place to be. When you're up high, you can see the things coming at you. We've got to be that way in the areas of the spiritual realm. Yes, for sure, for sure. And we'll be that way because of being filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can see these things coming. The wisdom of God speaking into our spirit, He alerts us to the things that are coming down the path at us, I believe. Truly, I truly believe that. Hallelujah. I think it's for sure the Spirit of God in us, and we get further into the message, is going to be one of the areas as we are the righteousness with Him is wisdom and things of that nature that we gain from Him. We get God's wisdom. What's the one thing we always hear about in society of today? Oh my goodness, is there not even wisdom used anymore in some of the things that we do? But I think with that of a child of God, we've got that mind of Christ, amen? It says have the mind of Christ. And we should be able to tell when we hear things from our officials, things from the world that contradict things that they said 2 weeks ago or a year ago or whatever the case might be. But we will find that things that they say contradict things that they say today from the days past. And a lot of that, we're not going to go into that, but it's those things that we have wisdom of God giving us that thought process to where he's saying, listen to what they're saying, and some of it, you don't want to believe it, you know? And that's nothing to do with this virus that we're in now. This is just some things in general, as I came across this, about some things that we hear that we always talk about. It just seems like common sense and wisdom is just out the door. I don't know. But let's continue on with this, okay? In the Amplified edition for Proverbs 18:10, it says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe," or they are secure. The Christian Study Bible would say protected. So here again, you know, well, I'm sorry. That was the King James that I just read. Let's go to Amplified. I apologize for that. The Amplified for Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The consistently righteous man runs into it and is safe. High are far above all evil and strong." So, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs into it and is safe. High and strong, we are protected. He lifts us out of the calamities that are taking place. Now, what I want to find here, the Amplified talks about the righteousness man, and that is upright and in right standing with God. We have got to be, ladies and gentlemen, at that level in our walk that we are the righteousness of who? God. And I like that word, consistently righteous. The definition of consistent would be this: marked by harmony, regularity, a steady continuousness, free from variation or contradiction, showing steady conformity to character or belief. That is being consistent. And we truly need that in our churches today, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, even here at Harvesters Church, we need to continually keep that as one of the main things in front of us, is to be consistent with the things of God. Now we get into that other realm of righteousness, and what we find here, the King James Bible says, "just accordant to the divine law." This is righteousness. Just accordant to the divine law. When it's applied to persons, it denotes one who is holy in heart and observant of the divine commands in practice as a righteous man. The righteous in Scripture will denote the servants of who? God. So when we find in the Amplified in Proverbs 18:10, we read it, okay, in the King James, New King James, "For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy." But here in the Amplified, where it talks about this, "the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the consistently righteous man," that being upright and in right standing with God, "runs into it and is safe. High are far above all evil," and that you're strong. That is, for us today, where I want us to be aware of, where are we at in that? Where are you at in that, the righteousness of God in you? We have spoken on being the righteous of God many times. And remember, it's not my righteousness. Say that. It's not my righteousness. No. It's God's righteousness in us. But then we look at, well, how do I get that? How do I get the righteousness of God in me? Little old me. Mere man of this world. We're going to find out that we all have it if we received Christ, and I believe we have here at this church, have Christ as our Lord and Savior. So let's turn to Philippians 3:9. In Philippians 3:9, we will begin kind of going through this righteousness, okay? Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And the New King James says this, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." My heading in my Bible of Philippians 3 talks about it's all for Christ. I'm going to tell you what, we need to be all sold out for Christ. Amen? You cannot, don't shortchange Christ. Don't shortchange yourself with Christ. Be totally all in for him. As we go into it quickly, if I read Philippians 3:7, it talks about what things were to gain to me, these things I have accounted a loss for Christ. Okay, as we find here, and as we find that, who? Paul is writing these things, but it says this, "What things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I what? May gain Christ." Everything else is rubbish, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to gain Christ. And verse 9, "I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." So remember, no amount of keeping the law, doing our own self-improvement, okay, being religious, any of these efforts will make us right with God. None of them will. Keeping the law, self-improving, or being religious and following mandates and following protocol of doing this, that, or the other, none of those efforts will make us right with God. The true righteousness comes only from God. Now we are made righteous by trusting in Christ. He will take and exchange our sin and even our shortcomings for what? His complete righteousness. Now I want to touch upon quickly here in regards to Philippians 3:9. And I'm going to just reiterate it again, and maybe this will be a little bit clearer, okay? Devotion focuses on the pursuit of intimacy with God. It is devoting oneself to knowing Jesus Christ. One measure of maturity is the degree to which this pursuit becomes our consuming focus and desire. Does nothing more in your life do much more than following and wanting more of Christ, that the consuming focus and desire of your life is that? Nowhere is the disciple of Jesus more challenged to become a man or a woman after God's own heart than here in Philippians 3:9. We find this, it says this, "Understand that no personal achievement can earn spiritual position. Do not be afraid to lose everything in your quest to know Christ. Make knowing Christ your main goal in life, and know that this quest always involves sacrifice and unselfish living." That all speaks for itself. It's things that we need to be about as we are here in this place. To be a help to those around us may require you to, you know, lay down some of your time or things that you thought you wanted to do, or maybe going out and making sure your neighbor or somebody that you know here in the church, call them and see, "Hey, I'm going to the store. Do you need anything of food or anything? Do you need anything out there that I can stop and pick up for you?" It's to be totally helping those around us. And that's, in a way, laying your life down in some respects, for sure. We find that we who are his are the righteousness of God. We were reconciled back to God through the death of Jesus back on the cross. That's why the cross is so important. So let's kind of look at some of these events so we can look at the righteousness and how we come into that. Would you please turn to 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. So in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, it says, "For he made him, he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. That we would become the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see if I can find something here in regards to that. Regards the righteousness, okay? So we just read this, 2 Corinthians. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Righteousness is this, just, the quality of being right. Broadly, it would be the word suggests conformity to the revealed will of God in all respects. It also talks about judicial and graciousness. God declares the believer righteous in the sense of acquitting him and imparts righteousness to him. Amen. Thank you, Father. And that speaks to each and every one of us today. Those of us that claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So what happens here when we receive Christ, there's an exchange that's taking place here. He will take our sin and make us now right with God. His righteousness is freely given to us at the time of us receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? It's not hard to do. It's not hard to speak of that. It's not going through a litany test and calisthenics and all these things, you know, that you would think of to become a child of God. It's just by receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And once we say that, once we receive him that, all of these things begin to open up into us, and we will continue on with this a little bit more, I believe, and find out some more things here. In Romans 8, while we're here, let's go through the Bible. Let's look at Romans 8. We again. We don't have anything to do. We got a lot of time on our hands. It's Sunday morning. So let's take a look at this. You're at home. You know, you're probably around the kitchen table having a cup of coffee. We certainly miss you from being here. But the word goes on. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 3 through 6. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of what? Yes, the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So as we read through this, we kind of find that Paul presents two ways of life. And they are central to the whole discussion of our faith and where we're at with Christ. And to walk according to the flesh is to follow the sinful desires of one's old life. Remember, old things have passed away. I don't care what you did in the past. God doesn't care what you did in the past. They've all been what? Passed away. To walk according to the Spirit is to follow the desires of the Holy Spirit to live in a way pleasing to Him. Hopefully, we've heard this over and over, but we got to keep reiterating these things. You know, we do not want to please the world. I don't want to please the people out in the world to the point of I've got to be pleasing them and then I don't please my God. Remember one time I'd shared as a pastor, I am not here to please you. Hopefully you don't look at me cross-eyed. I am here to please God. Guess what? Right there where you're at. You're here, you're there to do what? Please God. That's our mandate. That's what we're to be doing is to please God. And we do that by walking according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us, to live in us, is a way to please Him. Now, Paul is here expecting that Christians would ordinarily will live according to the Spirit. This involves holiness, but not only in actions and words, but also in thoughts that fill our minds each moment through the day. And we talk about, you know, thoughts in our minds. It's walking according to the Spirit. This involves holiness, but not just in actions or words, but in our thoughts and our, it's everything. See, as we remember, we talked about all of us are into this. As we receive Christ into our lives, give him all of you. Yeah. Well, we want our minds cleansed. We want our hearts cleansed. Amen. Quickly, if you drop down, and let's just continue reading after 6. It says, because in verse 7, Romans 8, 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. As we look at that, those that are in the flesh characterize people's very nature and is a stronger description than the activity of walking according to the flesh, okay? Those that are in the flesh, the carnal mind, is stronger description than the activity of walking according to the flesh. The phrase therefore refers to unbelievers who cannot please God. So as unbelievers are out there, they can't please God. Their mind has not been renewed. You know, there's just a lot of things going on that they're not there. But now, thankfully, hallelujah, God's grace and mercy is there for all of us. It is there for those outside the kingdom, as well as for us in the kingdom, because I remember, how about you, one day, one time in my earlier life, I was outside the kingdom. But God's grace and mercy at times was there. I don't understand how it all works, but we leave it up to him to be the fair and just God. But really, to have that trueness with him, we've got to be sold out to him. Remember, we talked about that, to be sold out to him and to be filled with the Spirit, and to want to, not just in holiness in our actions and things we do, but in our thoughts and everything that we do. It's just that focus of things of God. Like Jesus says, I don't say or I don't do anything that it doesn't give glory and honor or to glorify my Father in heaven. Let us do that same thing. Amen? Amen. In 1 Corinthians, now we're walking through this because why? I want to point out this righteousness because it's an important thing. Because we talked about what? We talked about the Proverbs 18:10. We started out in Psalm 61:3 talking about, for you have been a shelter for me, my protector, the Good News Bible says, a strong tower from the enemy. Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The Amplified says, but this has got to be the consistently righteous man. We've got to be, amen, consistent in the things of God. And we've got to work at it, guys. We've got to. And that's where we go, well, I can't. I don't know how. It seems to be so hard. Well, you know what? Where I am weak, who's strong? When I can't do it on my own, I know who to call upon. To say, Lord, help me have that strength. Lord, help me have the ability to forgive that person. Lord, do whatever the case might be. But we've got to address these things, and we've got to know that God is there, ever present, to help us through these things. He wants to get us as cleaned up, amen, as hopefully we desire to be cleaned up, to continue on to be serving him as his righteousness on a consistent basis. So as we get into 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Now, the heading on this here, again, in verse 26 starts off, really, this whole paragraph, but it says, glory only in the Lord. And it starts off in 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing to the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. I tell you, you do something powerful in the kingdom of God, don't stand up and say, hey, look what I've done for the power of God and for the kingdom of God. Stand back and give what? Give all glory to God. Hallelujah. People come and say, that was a great message, Pastor. You're great. No, I'm not great. I'm just a vessel of God. I'm a lump of clay. How about you? A bunch of lump of clays out there this morning. But you're good clay, hallelujah. God is forming you and molding you and using you, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Each and every one out there that's a member of the church here, you are a blessing to the Harvesters Church. You are part of the church here. You're a part of the church out there. And glory to God, things are just going to get better. Say better, hallelujah. Yes, Lord, hallelujah. Whew. So did we read 130 yet? Oh, no. That no flesh should glory in his presence. I think that's where he stopped off. But 30. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us. Here he is. He came for us. He became for us. Oh, slow down. Let's listen and let's read this again. But of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus, okay, Jesus, through him, the wisdom of God, the righteousness, the sanctification, the redemption. When a person receives Christ as their Lord and Savior, we also see the following things come into being. And just write these down, and you can kind of look them up yourself. But these are things that come with us. We just talked about here a little bit. But we will have God's wisdom. Colossians 2:3. Remember, when we receive Christ Jesus, we will have God's wisdom. Colossians 2:3. We will be acceptable to God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We are made pure. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 through 7. And the greatest benefit is having our sins cleansed from us. Mark 10:45. Now, as we get into that, let's take a look here about this, where it says, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Let's look at this word righteousness, this word sanctification, and the word redemption, okay? Righteousness is a term taken from the courts. It's God's judicial determination to right every wrong. His gift to the guilty, which removes all condemnation and puts them in a state of what? Justification. Amen. We were filthy as rags, but we have been cleaned up by the righteousness of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Sanctification is a symbol taken from the temple. It's shown the need for cleansing from pollution. It includes a renewal by the power of the Holy Spirit, which allows acceptable living before God and points to our ultimate perfection in His presence. To be set apart. You know, we're righteous. We're set apart for such a time as this. We are His people. Hallelujah. You are His person. You are His people. You are set apart, sanctified. Woo, hallelujah. Then we get into the redemption. Taken from a background of slavery and debt, it speaks of freedom and final deliverance from all aspects of sin, including the resurrection of the body. Hallelujah. As Jesus hung on the cross, he died for us. Just as he was laid in the tomb, he rose again. One day, we that lay in the tomb, or as we are placed, you know, dirt to dirt, ashes to ashes, we put back where we came from, there will be the day that we are all risen again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But that's part of this whole thing of righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That's who we are as children of God. It's not to boast, but it's to boast. And you know what? It's not a private club, everybody. I tell you what, anybody out on the street can join this club. It's not like we're hiding it and holding it in. Certainly not. It's for anybody and everybody that will listen to us as we share the good news, that gospel message. Where do you find that peace and comfort? Oh, hallelujah. This is the time that God is using, even during this time. So in Galatians 3, we're getting close here, folks. We're getting close to wrapping this up. And it's just going to be a little side note of our double header here, I believe. But here we are at Galatians 3:13. In Galatians 3:13 and 14, It says Christ in verse 13, Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. As I looked through this and really was interested about the sheltering in and being in the shelter of God, being in that strong tower, being covered by His wings, amen, that I also began to find that faith is there. And I've already alluded to this in the beginning of the time that I started here, but that Sunday that Wayne and Julie and Terry had spoke, and as they went through a great message, it's interesting, it was, I don't know, it was the last message before we closed the church. And no, they didn't close the church. But I think that message that they left us with was very powerful to take us through this time that we're in. And I appreciate those folks. Thank you so much, Wayne and Julie and Terry and Doug. Thank you so much for covering that Sunday. And now as I look back, it was a very, it's kind of like a pivotal Sunday because of what Wayne shared and what Terry shared and the scripture reading of Julie, Lord, hallelujah. And it wouldn't have been online if it hadn't been for Doug. So thank you, Doug. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother. But as we look at this now, remember as I started out, as I shared about that shelter insurance, and I think last night when I read that and I thought about it, that's when I decided to look at their little nameplate there and stand behind the strength of our shield. That's an insurance company saying, stand behind our shield of what we are about. Well, we have a shield, amen, that's our strength. And I'm just closing here now. I just want to turn to remind us of that. To Ephesians, okay? Let's turn to Ephesians 6:10. You already know it, but I just want to focus upon it as we leave out today. Because there's fiery darts coming at us all the time, amen? And we got to use that shield of faith. We got to stand in faith. We got to believe in faith. We got to trust in faith. We got to know that we know that we know that God is going to see us through this time that we're in, and that we're going to come out on the other side, and it's going to be a lot better than when, even when we went into it, it's going to be a lot better. Hallelujah. And it's all going to be by faith. Hallelujah. But faith is so important. But here it is, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ooh, the wiles of the devil. The schemings, the schemes of the devil. The devil is out there scheming how he can take away your joy, how he can take away your peace, how he can take away your comfort, you name it, hallelujah. He's scheming on you guys. And for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, we always have to say, you know, what else are you going to do if you've stood and it's still happening and things are not coming into line yet, what you believe? You just need to stand. And when all else fails, stand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But it goes into 14, girding your waist with truth. We need that. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. We're the righteousness through that of God. Shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel. Ah, yes, Lord. Read the gospel. Put it in your heart. And then above all, above all, everybody say above all, you said it, above all, taking the what? The shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Isn't that interesting? All the things that the enemy, that old wily, scheming devil trying to throw at us. Now, these things will be in the spiritual realm, but I believe there's things that I can look at, things in the natural that we also are dealing with that are coming at us, but I know that God is there to be with us. And we, church, today, you there in your home, you there in the next week and weeks out, and from here until we all get called home to glory, you're going to need to make sure you got your shield of faith right there in front of you. Amen? To catch all of those fiery darts. The wicked one in verse 16 talks about that of the reference to the personal assault of Satan against believers. And I guess this does kind of remind us back at the 1999, getting into the year of 2000, there was this Y2K disaster taking place, and the world was handling it one way, the church was handling it one way, and for the most part, it seemed like, and there were some people in the world that were going to the extremes, I'm not saying that they didn't, but there was a lot in the church that was going to the other extreme as well. And I know some said, well, the word says to be wise, to listen, to do, to prepare, and all these, that God will provide these things. And if he has personally told you to do something in preparation, then do it, okay? That's the part of being led by the Holy Spirit. But don't be led by people. Don't be led by organizations that want to speak fear into these things. Because we had that same thing. And the child of God, we need to rise above these things. We need to rise above. And yes, there is something that's serious going on. We're going to do our part, but we're going to be in that of peace and joy and comfort. We're going to do our part. We're going to be a help. We're going to be a blessing. We're going to be in prayer. We're going to pray for our nation and pray for the state and pray for those officials, for the doctors and nurses and anybody and everybody out there that is helping and to take care of us. We're going to pray for those that have maybe caught this virus, that, Lord, you would bring a quick healing into their bodies and bring strength into them, whatever the case might be. We're going to do all of these things, but please don't run like the sky is falling. And I find this where Satan likes to attack the believers. And pretty soon you got the people outside the church looking at the people in the church saying, oh my gosh, they're no different than we are. Where is this great God that they have? Where is he if they're out there running, fearful and afraid? No, 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 no. Remember, stand behind the strength of our shield. And it's not that insurance company, amen. It's the shield of faith. In closing here, if I could just take you to 1 John. If you would mind turning to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. And let us kind of close out with this. And I'm going to begin in 5:1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, they are not burdensome. And here it is, 1 John 5:4. Hallelujah. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Amen. Our faith. Thank you, Father. Let's read that again. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith, or your faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Oh, hallelujah. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? You're going to overcome this world. Amen. Hallelujah. Give a shout of praise. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise you, Father God. You have not left us. You've just gotten in with us even more and deeper with us, Lord, as we get deeper with you during this time. Now, Lord, as I close out, I just again ask your special blessings upon each and every one From the Harvesters Church family, I ask a blessing to those that may come across this message that don't attend here, Lord. Ye will draw them by the Spirit into your kingdom, Father God, that ye will speak to them, that they will find comfort. They will find what they need in you, Father God. I pray that. Thank you, Lord. We do pray for the medical staff, doctors, nurses, anybody and everybody, Lord, that is working during this time to bring this COVID-19 virus to a halt. We pray it in Jesus' name that you will cleanse this land, cleanse this nation, cleanse this world, Lord, of this virus now. We pray against it in Jesus' name. I pray for those that have experienced it right now that you will return them to health. You will strengthen their bodies, Father God, right now, that we will see, even in the days, Lord, days to come, we will see a reversal of this in the name of Jesus. Lord, that this thing will no longer have a hold of this nation. I praise you and I thank you right now, Lord, that what the scientist and medical field says it could be a prolonged time, I pray, Lord, that there will be a time of instantaneously this thing will just stop and begin to dwindle and die off at the root. Hallelujah. Just cut it off at the root. We just cut the COVID-19 virus at the root right now, Lord God, and let there be healing, health, and strength in each and every one's body. Lord, for those loved ones that have lost a family member or a friend to this, we ask for your comfort and your strength to be with them during this time, as only you can. We just pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless each and every one of you. I trust you have a wonderful Sunday the rest of the morning and afternoon, and look ahead to the week ahead for just great and mighty things that God is doing in us. Amen. In you, in the church at large. And we'll gather again. We will gather again. I want to speak it. We will gather sooner than later than what they anticipate. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless. Have a good morning. Bye-bye.